is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, meaning that Jesus is fully man and fully God. He is the God-man. He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. And whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Good day, everyone, and thanks for listening. Today, on this final broadcast for 2024, let's join Pastor as he concludes the message, False Teachers, from a study in the Epistle of 2 Peter.
I've worked in the tent ministry. You know what the tent ministry is? That's where you'd take a tent and you'd go into these small country towns and you'd have like a Christian revival. You know, we had a piano player, and it was my job was to set up the tent. They wouldn't let me preach, but I'd set up the tent. So I'm going out to this meeting. It actually was my brother and me. And so he's preaching that night, and I have the flu. I'm running 101, 102 temperature. And so after, you know, I set that tent up, then the meeting, and then I had to tear it back down and then load it up. And then we went to, all of us would go eat, you know, the musicians and all that kind of stuff. And so this guy sitting next to me, he goes, he says, man, you look pretty bad. I said, yeah, I got the flu, man. I'm running temperature. He says, are you going to eat that food? And I said, no, I can't eat. He says, well, you know, if you had any faith, you'd be healed. Now, I was a young man, not briefed in all of the Bible yet. And I said, oh, okay. I said, do you have the gift of discernment? He says, no. I said, good, because I'm getting ready to punch you right in the face. I mean, never mind. Experts in greed. Now, I want you to catch two things. Pastors and ministers. Okay, anyone who stands in a pulpit, they don't use deceptive words. It's against God's will. Okay, so you don't use deceptive words, and deceptive words are two things. First of all, they are flattering words. They flatter you. In other words, to extort your money. They want money. They'll say anything to get it. Let me give you what Paul the Apostle said, and this is the way a minister should be. He says in 1 Thessalonians 2:3, Paul's talking about his preaching. He says, for our exhortation, he's appealing now in his preaching, our exhortation did not come, it did not originate from error. He said, what I teach is not partly true. Everything I'm teaching, it is all true. It's God's word. Nor is what I'm teaching unclean. What Paul was teaching was pure in content and pure in intent. Does that make sense? And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, nor was it in deceit. The word deceit means I'm going to put some bait out there and trickery, and I'm going to get that money from them, you know? He says, no, listen, I didn't come to feed upon you. I come to feed you. Listen to me. The good news of Jesus Christ is not bait. It is the living word of God. It's a Jesus Christ and everlasting life. Amen? So it's not bait. And a sermon, you know, a sermon to the hearing of someone's ears can be a masterpiece of preaching, but it could be a lie. And if you don't know the truth, you won't know. Now, he goes on and he says in verse 4 of 1 Thessalonians 2, he says, but as we have been approved, in other words, tested and proved genuine by God and entrusted with the good news of the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Listen, those who teach God's word, I'm not here to please men. I'm here to teach the truth. If it offends you, that's too bad. Amen? But I'm not going to water it down. This is the word of God. But false teachers are people pleasers, okay? Can I tell you something? Just because a church is a happy church, it doesn't mean it's a healthy church. Do you understand? You know, if all you have is feel-good sermons, comfortable sermons, you're going to be a happy church. But you're not going to be a healthy church, because you can only grow by sound doctrine. Amen? The word healthy means sound doctrine. Now, so with all that being said, faithful preaching then and today, it's not always popular. But the main thing that we always need to remember is this. Whoever is in this pulpit, no matter what area of the church that we're teaching and whoever they are, you know, listen, the question we need to ask, number one, is God pleased with it? Number two, was it God's truth? Amen? That's important. Now, let me finish what Paul's going to say. He says, for neither at any time did we use deceptive words, okay? And he uses flattering words. And he said, we never used flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. And God is our witness. Flattering words means words to gain influence over someone to manipulate and get what they want, okay? That's what false teachers do. And they also have a cloak of covetousness. A cloak means they put a mask on to hide their greed because they are lovers of money. Paul didn't say, I have come here, you know, for you to support my ministry, to give me an honorarium, to make sure my ministry is going to survive or to buy me a jet airplane. Do you understand what I'm saying? He didn't do any of that. He said, I come to win your hearts. Now, so deceptive words are flattering words, but now look at it again, verse 3. It says, these false teachers, they exploit Christians with deceptive words, and that word deceptive in Greek is plastos. We get our English word plastic, okay? Now, there's a lot of plastic in the pulpit today. Plastic can be, if you know anything about plastic, can it be twisted? Can it be shaped and formed to anything? Okay, what Peter's telling us is that what they're saying, it sounds so good. You know, they're telling the truth, but then they start twisting the truth just this way and that way, and they twist it to where it fits perfectly in the ear of those immature believers that don't know the Word of God. Why? How does that happen? Because they use, false teachers use right words, inerrancy of Scripture, the Holy Spirit, sanctification, justification, propitiation, love. They use all those words, but what they do, they start twisting the meaning of those words to mean what they want it to mean. And if you don't know the truth, well, then you're just getting a bunch of plastic words. It's not going to help you. See, listen, they use the Word of God not to educate the Christian. They use the Word of God to deceive the Christian. That's what false teachers do. Now, look at what it says in verse 3 again. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber, or as another translation says, waits for them with unsleeping eyes. So Peter says, listen, the judgment is not idle, meaning their judgment is living. It's waiting and it's coming. He says their judgment is called destruction. You're going to be utterly destroyed. So what is God saying? You ain't going to make it. Your destiny is going to be hell. And here's what Peter does now. He's going to give us three examples from the Word of God on the absolute certainty that all false teachers in any generation, whoever they might be, they will undergo judgment. And this is from verses 4 through 9. And verses 4 through 9, level 1, is one sentence, okay, if you, in the Greek there. So it's like one of the longest in the New Testament. But here's my question. Whenever you study the Bible, ask questions. That's how you learn. So I ask, okay, now, Lord, why would Peter, I mean, there's many examples of false prophets and teachers in the Bible, amen? Now, why would he all of a sudden use three examples from Genesis and all chronologically, meaning the angels who sinned there, and then, of course, the flood, and then Sodom and Gomorrah? And do you know why that Peter did that through the power of the Holy Spirit? Because then, and even today, but then especially, false teachers taught that the first few chapters there in the book of Genesis, they were just fables. They weren't true at all. So here, Peter is refuting their lies, amen? So he uses those. Now, let's begin in verse 4. He says, for if God did not spare angels, or the angels, the supernatural beings who sinned, it means, in order for an angel to sin, loved one, it means he has to know the truth of God. Amen? Okay, and they choose to sin. That's what that word means there. But cast them down to hell. So the angels that sinned, we've learned from 1 Peter 3:20, they were disobedient. They're fallen angels, by the way. And they were disobedient in the days of Noah. So number one, how did they sin? Number two, how were they disobedient? Well, Jude 7, which is a mirror copy really almost of 2 Peter, he tells us these fallen angels, having given themselves over to sexual immorality, having gone after strange flesh, forbidden flesh, okay? Now, we know the story. I taught it in depth in 1 Peter, okay? These are the fallen angels, if you will, from Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Let me read it quickly. Now, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, daughters were born to them, that the sons of God in the Old Testament are always angels or fallen angels, okay? Here they are fallen angels. They saw the daughters of men. They saw them. What did they see? Scripture says they saw that they were beautiful, okay? Now, what did they do? It says, and they, the fallen angels, they took, that's a powerful word. They took wives from their husbands. They took these wives from other men, meaning they captured them by force. And it was full of lust. It wasn't marriage. It was rape, okay? It says, and they took wives for themselves. And listen, of all whom they chose, anybody, they just grabbed them. It didn't matter. And then in verse 4, there were giants, or Nephilim, the fallen ones. There were giants on earth in those days. And also afterward, when the sons of God, when the fallen angels came into the daughters of men, the human daughters, it says, and they bore children to them. So you have here fallen angels and human women and children were produced. Now, I don't have time. You have to go back and study that one. It's on video. But what was Satan doing? He was trying to destroy the seed line to the Messiah. Remember? The seed of woman. Now, but what I want you to see here is that they were cast down to hell. And hell is an unfortunate translation because that's not what the word means. Number one, hell is yet future. Gehenna, that's the lake of fire. No one is in the lake of fire. When the unbelievers die today, they go to Hades. Amen? The place of waiting for the future day of the great white throne judgment. They're kept there. But here the word hell is not Gehenna, it's Tartarus, and it's only found here in the New Testament. And this word Tartarus, loved one, is synonymous, if you will, in the book of Revelation with the abuso or the abyss, the bottomless pit. Now, remember when I talked about Hades and so forth? Remember when Jesus, he died on the cross. Before he died, he told the thief, what did he say? Today you will be with me in paradise, remember? Okay, paradise is in Hades, and paradise was Abraham's bosom. Now, so here's Abraham's bosom, and remember the Bible says there was a gulf that separated Abraham's bosom to this side over here, the place of the unbelieving wicked dead. Amen? Have y'all got that? Remember what Jesus did with Abraham's bosom? When he ascended, it says in Ephesians, he led captivity captive. That was them. He emptied paradise. But the people on the other side, they stayed there. Now, so here is Abraham's bosom. Here is the place of the living dead, Sheol. And then underneath there was another department. So there's three compartments. This was Tartarus. It was the lowest place. It was the darkest place. It was a place of unbelievable darkness and horrible torment. And that is where God put those angels that did what they did in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, loved one, in Tartarus. Now, with all that being said, when they were put there, look what happened, what he did, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. So these angels that sinned, they're being held right now, right now. They're there being held right now. That's not the final destination for those wicked angels. It's at the last days in the book of Revelation. Amen? Now, so the chains of darkness, I don't know exactly what it means, but I know from studying the Greek, it means this. It's some kind of unbelievable darkness, and that darkness is able to have dominion over the darkest creatures that have ever walked this earth. It keeps them contained, if you will. If you've ever read Dante's Inferno, he said this, I came unto a place mute of all light. That's Tartarus. It says, and they, these angels, these fallen angels, they are reserved for judgment. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, we're going to learn that it says, and then at the end there, remember the devil's cast into the lake of fire. That was 2010 of Revelation, but in 14 of Revelation, it says that Hades and death, and Hades is where all those angels were, okay, were cast into the lake of fire. What a day that is going to be, loved one. So what was Peter telling? He's actually warning the false teachers. He's saying, God judged those angels, boys, and God's judgment's going to get you too. What a word. He says in verse 5, for God did not spare the ancient world, but save Noah. That means preserved Noah, guarded Noah through the flood, okay? Noah was saved long before he built the ark. So he saved Noah, and he says one of eight people, and it says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Remember, he warned the world for 120 years. They did not believe that the flood was coming. They thought Noah was crazy. Not one person was saved. He was a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. So God, he has to destroy the whole world. Remember, in Genesis 6:5, it teaches us that every heart on earth at that time, the intents of every heart were evil. Their thoughts were evil continually. Every person, think about that, constantly just evil thinking. And God says the only remedy is to destroy the entire world, and that was by the flood. So Peter says, God judged the entire world. You don't think he's not going to judge you, you false teachers? He is going to do that. Now, let's look at verse 6 then. It says, for if God, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. That's Genesis 18 and 19 now. Remember how the angels came and were going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and then Abraham, does he start interceding? Yeah, he said, oh, Lord, if there's just 30 righteous, if there's 20, he said, don't not destroy it, okay? But he's interceding. He says, condemn them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot. So the angels came to Lot, told him to get out. Remember, Sodom and Gomorrah could not be destroyed until they were out of the city. And it says about Lot here, watch this, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For the righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day, meaning every day. Lot, man, he was totally, he knew he made a wrong choice by moving to Sodom, amen? And it tormented him every day. He lost everything in Sodom, if you will. So now listen carefully. The sin in Noah's day and the sin in Sodom and Gomorrah were different but the same. And it was sexual perversion. The fallen angels in the day of Noah, they went after strange flesh. Amen? Okay, but in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, it was sodomy. They were sodomized. They were homosexuals, okay? And so this is what he's saying here. You know, does God hate people who lie? Does God hate adulterers? Does God hate homosexuals? No, God hates sin. He hates sin so much, he sent his son to die for it, amen? So we love people here, but we teach that the Bible is the truth. And the Bible is very clear. Read Leviticus 18:22. God said, it is an abomination for a man to lie with another man as unto a woman. It's an abomination. Read Romans chapter 1 and start in verse 17 or 18. Go all the way to the end there about the wrath of God. And he says, listen, even women burned, you know, women going after other women, which was unnatural, and men likewise burning in lust one for another, which is totally against nature. It's an abomination, a perversion. It's a sin. Amen? He said, no, no, do that. Remember how bad it was? When those angels came in to Lot's house and say, you got to get out of here. We're going to destroy this place. It says that men, young and old, came from every quarter of the city, and they surrounded that house because of their carnal lust. They looked at them as men. They wanted those men to be carnal with them. Remember what the angels did to those men? Let me read it to you. In Genesis 19:11, and the angels struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. Now listen, even though they were instantly blinded. I mean, they couldn't see a thing. They didn't stop. You know what stopped them from trying to get in? They couldn't find the door, and they finally were so worn out, they just left. I want you to listen to me now, the day that we're living in. What oppressed and tormented Lot does not oppress and torment the society that we live in. Do you understand that? Not at all. It doesn't torment America or the highest office in this land. False teachers today, our government today, they not only accept sin, they promote sin, they legalize sin, they pass laws to protect people in that type of sin. Do you understand me? We love people here, but I love the truth more than that. But there is no protection. You can pass all the laws that you want. You're going to answer to God. You can't get away from it. Do you understand? There's no way around it. It'll never, never happen. Listen, the Bible is very clear. Luke 17:28, likewise in the days of Lot, so will it be as the coming of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted. But on the day Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. What does that mean? Destruction is certain. Not just for those kind of people or the sin of those. All they have to do is repent and they get cleaned. Amen? Yes. Now, let's finish this up real quick. Then the Lord, he knows how to deliver. That word means rescue. He knows how to rescue the godly out of temptations and reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, meaning the great white throne judgment and also the lake of fire. Now, listen. God delivered Noah. He rescued Noah. Amen? One man proved the entire world wrong. He was the only person, he and his family, that believed God. No one believed God. He proved the entire world, the majority, everybody, in the wrong by faith, by believing what God said. And Lot, he delivered Lot. Listen, was Lot wrong by moving to Sodom? Yes, he was. He made a horrible choice and he paid for it. But God said, I delivered him. Has God delivered us? Yes, and it might be today. We might be gone today with the rapture. Amen? The Bible tells us clearly, here we are. We're waiting for God's Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. The wrath to come. We're not due to the wrath of God. That means we're going to be taken out, just like Noah was taken out, just like Lot was taken. Does that make sense? We're going to be rescued. Now, listen, I want to close this, but I want you to listen to those that are listening radio and live right now. Listen to me now. I want to give you a living truth. False teachers, they say God is love. Is that true or false? It is. It's true. They're telling the truth. God is love. And they'll also say in God is love, and I want you to know that all roads lead to God. Is that true? Yes, it is true. All roads lead to God. You get on any road you want to. You get with any religion you want to. You're going to stand before God, but not the way you want to. All roads lead to God in the end. Every person will stand before the Lord. Amen? However, you have to have the right gospel because there is only one gospel. There is only one Savior that gave himself for our sins. Only one way, only one way. Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. There is no other mediator in the world for man. None. Do you understand? There is only one mediator. One. One only, 1 Timothy 2:5, where it says, there is only one God and one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for our sins. Amen? He is our mediator. He brings us to God. And there's only one name that can save a person. Only one name. There's not another name in all of the universe you can call on except one name to be saved. There is no other name. His name is Jesus. He's been given a name higher than any other name. Every knee will bow. Every tongue is going to confess, loved one. When the jailer, the one who beat Paul and Silas, they're in prison. Then the earthquake came and the jailer runs in and he's terrified. He says, oh, Paul, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What did Paul say? Paul told the jailer, he says, believe on this name. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And he did.
Well, tomorrow begins a new calendar year, and we do hope you will start your new year by tuning in each day to Love Never Fails and continue to grow in your understanding of God's Word. It's been a true privilege to freely share the gospel daily without persecution in our great nation. With that being said, my name is Brian Whitaker. On behalf of Pastor Bill, thank you for listening to the broadcast. May 2025 be a year of great blessings for His church as we watch and pray for the Lord's return. Happy New Year, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.